You can have the flashiest website, your Instagram theme looks exactly the same, your feed looks perfect. Yeah, but if you're not good at communicating your ideas or just sharing what you know, that's going to set you back.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Canon Conversations, the show where I sit down with some of the top creatives in the industry so that you can become a better photographer. On today's show, we're rounding out the last episode in our three-part series on professional photographer, Anupam Singh. Anu, thanks for joining me, man.
Thanks for having me again, Ben. It's been fun. Two conversations we've had so far, so yeah, looking forward to this one.
Wicked, cool. And today, we're going to be wrapping up the skill level now from we started at beginner, last week was intermediate, now we're going to advanced. So basically, this is for the working professional. So basically, for all the photographers out there who make their living from taking photos of people, this is for you, and hopefully learning some great insights from Anu around just some of the things you've learned throughout your career, working with clients. We're going to be talking business. We're going to be talking just setting expectations, just more things about running the shoot, all the things that just sort of take time to learn over your career. We're going to break all those down now, and hopefully just step your photography business up to the next level. Anu, do you want to start us off basically with kind of, let's start off with the client. I kind of want to sort of start off with that and just start off with basically how you approach working with the client when they send you a brief, how you sort of unpack that and understand what they're really after.
In my experience, you get clients who know exactly what they want. I want 45 images, all shot vertical, 12 different outfits. This is where we're going to shoot. This is the time. And you have the other one where you have to educate the customer, tell them how it works, because they do their business. They don't know how photography works. Like, you don't go to a mechanic expecting to tell him what's wrong with your car. He figures it out and tells you what's wrong with it. Think of it as that way. So you have two types of clients who worked and know the industry really well. They know how long things are going to take realistically. And then you have one where you need to educate the customer, uplift their skill, and tell them this is what you're going to get, stuff like that. So once you get an email, try and understand what they want. Ask as many questions as you need to give them an accurate quote. There's no one fixed price that I have. Like, it could be $2,000, it could be $1,000, it could be $500. So depending on what the client wants, try and understand as many questions. Try and get as many questions answered and ask them where the images are going to be used. What do you need? They might often not know exactly what they need, and that's where you come in and educate them and uplift their skills on what's required. So ask questions, basically.
Yeah. And when you are getting a brief from especially a client that you haven't worked with much before, and a client who hasn't worked with many photographers before, how do you go about unpacking their brief and kind of figuring out what they're after? Because there's obviously the clients who know, like you said, exactly what they want. They want their 45 images and stuff. But,
Should I pause it or leave it on?
Yeah.
The fire alarm has been activated in another area of the building. Please stand by for further instructions.
I think that's it. Yeah.
All good. Should I think where?
How do you unpack? You can ask the question again. How I unpack once I get an email from a client who hasn't worked with a photographer before.
Yeah. And so, when you get a when you get a brief come through from a client, especially a client who you haven't worked with much before and who hasn't worked with a photographer before, how do you go about unpacking that? That brief, and I guess figure out what they're actually after. Obviously, there's the clients who can tell you exactly what they want, but then the clients who, like, I need some photography for my business. How do you go about actually unpacking that and figuring out what they need, understanding their budget, etc.?
Quite often, I get direct messages on my social pages. What I do is get an email address, send them off. I'm like, thank you so much. You want to work with me just to understand what you need. Here is a list of questions. It'll be basically where they want to use the images, when they were planning to shoot it, where they need me for, if they had a previous photographer, stuff like that. And basically try and understand the details of the shoot. I don't try and do it over a DM. Like, it just gets too messy, and you can't keep a track of what you discuss unless you scroll past 100 messages. So I'd often get an email address, email them. If it's taking too long on an email, you're going back 3 or 4 emails, I just pick up the phone and call them up, and they appreciate that so much. Like, I think people just get caught up in emails too often. Pick up the phone, ask them, like, hey, what do you need and how can I help and where do I fit in? So, yep, ask questions. And I have a set of questions, a template that's ready. I'm like, where are they going to use the images? Whether I'm going to be shooting vertical or horizontal format? Do they have a model in mind? Who's the makeup artist? And the last question is, how did they hear about me? It's often through, most of my work is coming through referrals. And yeah, so it's good to get that and thank the person who's recommended you. So I always leave a note to the other person. I'm like, thank you so much for recommending me to Ben, and I'm looking forward to working with them.
Yeah, no, totally. And that's those kind of relationships and that kind of, those kinds of referrals are something we'll be talking about later in the show. But sort of as to go back to that sort of quite fresh green client, how are you setting up expectations with them? Because that's sort of an area that is I find is incredibly important around setting up expectations with a client in terms of what they're going to be getting, that like how long it's going to take to get them, things like that. So how are you setting up your expectations with your clients to make sure they're happy and understanding how the whole process is going to work?
So we briefly touched upon this in the previous episode where I said put everything down in an email. So you ask them basically, how do you want your images delivered to you? Do you want them on Dropbox or do you want them on an FTP that you already have on your system? Do you want me to just put it in your FTP server? You ask those questions and you tell them, like, it's going to take me a week to get the images back to you. You're going to get images at 5,000 pixel on the wide end. You can use it for this, this, and this. If you want any other resolution, let me know. So, yeah, you kind of ask all these questions before you go into the job and sum it up in an email saying, on the 20th, we're going to shoot from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a 1 hour break in between. This is the team. We're going to be shooting 12 different outfits, some images for social. You're going to get them in a week or two on Dropbox. This is the resolution we agreed upon. Put that down in an email so you're both on the same page. And people just appreciate that you know what you're doing. They come to a specialist understanding that he knows what he's doing. But if you were like, oh yeah, I can just check it on a USB and give it to you whenever I finish, that's not like proper business. That's not how you do it.
Yeah, no, totally. But is there anything to be said around over-explaining? Like, it sort of, because like, I agree with you that like clients like want to understand everything that they're sort of basically paying for. But do you have a point where, because a lot of like creatives and photographers and stuff might go into, say, too much detail around some of the minutiae of stuff around, you know.
Yeah, that's another thing. Like, you don't get too technical with it. You're not, I'm going to shoot with one light and blah, blah, blah. That's you. That's a taken that you take good photos. You don't need to explain how you're going to take good photos.
Yes.
It's just what we agreed on, what you're going to be getting for your money. That's it. You don't need to explain in detail how you're going to set up your camera, what tripod you're using and stuff like that. You just be like, this is the images you're getting. This is what you're paying me for. This is when you're going to get it. End of story.
Yeah.
Keep it as brief as possible. Like, that things can be done where it can be a 4-page email but condensed down to a 1-page email, and just do that. No one has time for going back and forth. Just keep it as precise as possible. And again, it's you as well running in business efficiently. I don't know about you, but I work by myself and get help when I need to. So I don't want to be spending 4 hours replying to emails. I'd rather go out and shoot or catch up on my editing. So create templates. That's what I do. My draft is just full of templates that I can copy and customize it quickly. So yeah, just try and think of it as a business rather than your hobby that you're not getting paid for. I think that's where most of us get wrong. Like, start treating it as a business, and every minute that you're spending is important. So yeah, keep it short, keep it brief, create templates around it.
Absolutely. What's your take on under promise over deliver? Because that's something that I try and do a lot, and you don't want to go too far with it, because you don't want to feel like you're just like giving things away. But there's definitely something to be said around just a very subtle under promise over deliver. You don't want to under deliver.
quite often you have like editorials, mm-hmm. especially it's pretty mm-hmm. much last minute. They need it straight away.
Yeah.
But you don't want to say, I'll give you the photos by end of the week and it's a no-show on that day.
Mm-hmm.
So set the expectations right. And people are just going to appreciate when you say you'll have it on Monday and they have it on Monday, rather than mm-hmm. you saying you have it on Friday afternoon. They call you up on a Saturday morning, Sunday morning, and then they have mm-hmm. the images on a Monday. And you know when your busy period are going to be. So check your calendar quickly. What else do you have lined up for that week? And yeah, just don't set up expectations like you're going to have it on a particular day. So plan it accordingly. And if you think it's going to be ready on a Friday, just say you'll have it on a Monday. And no one's going to complain if they get it early. But once when you deliver an image wrong, they're going to pass it on to the next person. Oh, he said he was going to give it on Friday, but it didn't happen. So,
Absolutely. Totally. You don't want to say Friday and then deliver Monday, but if you say Monday and deliver Friday, it's amazing.
One more happy customer.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Okay, so we talked a little bit about it last episode, but in terms of running the shoot, and we used the phrase last week of being the captain of the ship, which is a phrase I picked up from another photographer, Cy Moore. Yep. And that's that whole philosophy of guiding people along this journey to create this image. Can you speak a little bit about that relationship with that you have between your kind of contractors and your kind of go-to like makeup artists and stylists and things like that? Like, what's your relationship to all the people that kind of, especially on a shoot day, make it happen for you?
Yeah. I think we briefly touched upon this, where you kind of need to remain calm. Like, you all are working as a team. So I don't know if I would use the word captain. I'm like, you're just part of a team, I would say.
Yeah.
Where you're trying to create and get the same results end of the day. And everyone is doing their part. Everyone's is a specialist in the field that they're from. So you get the makeup artist who knows exactly how makeup works. You get the stylist, you get the photographer. Mm. So I wouldn't call it a captain of the show on that day. I would say you're working as a team. And that's more important. You might have to nudge them at times. But you're all working at... They're all top of the line professionals and they all know what they're doing. So yeah, treat them as a team, I would say, in this situation here.
Yeah. And actually, that's a good clarification, because when I say captain of the ship, I don't mean any kind of seniority or sort of a denotion of importance there. It was more about you as the photographer on a shoot, you are leading the energy, the vibe. You are sort of helping to bring all these different creatives together for a common goal. And a lot of that comes down to those soft skills that we mentioned in the first episode around doing simple things like using people's first name, being polite and calm, and being
courtesy.
But also being sure on what you want to and need to deliver creatively, so you can
And that comes back to what we discussed. Like, you're preparing everyone, you're showing them the mood board, you've sent them a call sheet on what you're going to be doing on that day, so everyone has a rough idea of what they're doing. You might need to nudge them along on the day. I'm like, it's taking a while, and try and recover that time somewhere else. So you basically prepare, you set up your team to succeed. So that's where all this preparation comes into place. You make sure all your gear is ready. Same with the makeup artist. She makes sure everything on her part is, or she or he make sure they are ready as well. So
totally, absolutely.
You just pretty much you prepare to succeed. Like, you're setting up the whole team to succeed. So make sure you're all on the same page.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, preparation is key on that, and making sure you understand what you're actually after. And
And that's where all the emails and the call sheet and the mood board comes into picture. Like, you know exactly what you're going to be doing on that day. 9 o'clock we start, 10 o'clock we do this, 12 we move to the next location, 2 o'clock or 1 o'clock we break for lunch, and 5 is when we finish. So everyone has a rough idea, everyone knows what they're doing, and they all bring their A game on the day.
Cool, man. Awesome. Righto. So getting, I guess, a bit more technical now. So sort of when we're, we're on set now, all the crew's all working together, great. I'd love to break down some sort of more advanced lighting techniques that you've developed over the years. So we talked about in the first and second episodes that clamshell lighting, which was a great way to sort of start and explore kind of like controlled lighting setups. But what have some of the other sort of techniques that you've found and developed and worked on throughout the years that, yeah, just give different sorts of looks?
Sure. So a web campaign is what most of us will do at some stage in our life. So I pretty much use 4 lights for that. 2 just lighting the backdrop, so you get that nice white image and all your images need to look the same. You try and streamline the process so you're not wasting too much time editing the image, like you get it right in camera.
Yeah.
I so often hear portrait photographers who are starting off, oh, I'll fix it in post. No, but you have 1 day to shoot and X amount of time to edit, so you get it right in camera. And that's again what film has taught me, you get it right in camera. So I have 2 lights at the back, just lighting the backdrop, so it's nice and white for all images. You look at some websites and the image looks light gray in one, dark in one, and yet it just doesn't give you that professional image like when you're looking at a store's website. So you have the 2 lights at the back, 1 overhead light and 1 just to make sure everything is falling off correctly on the garment, because you're trying to sell a product. It could be a garment, it could be a candle, it could be a product or something else. So yeah, you kind of make sure everything is properly lit up. So I use like a 4 light setup for that. So 2 at the back, 1 on top, 1 maybe just lighting the feet if they have to, and waist down. So just to make sure the garment is highlighted and lit up correctly. So that's what you would use for a web catalog, for example. And editorial, again, depends on the mood. So you could have just 1 beauty dish, really nice and moody directional lighting, Rembrandt lighting. So if you look up Rembrandt, it's just 1 side your face is lit up and the other side is slightly darker. Some of the older portraits that you would have seen are paintings that would have Rembrandt lighting. So depending on what look you're going for, Rembrandt works really well, and you have your web campaign as well. So 4 lights for that.
Yeah, totally. So I've actually got some Rembrandt images up here on my screen, just because we were talking in some of the earlier episodes about just those sort of the history of portraiture, and it's definitely a great go-to of lighting, and especially like shooting on the shadow side. It's often really flattering, and it's a type of lighting that a lot of people sort of come to realize over their career as just a way to make something look like moody and flattering and show off a lot of the structure of the face.
With advertising, you quite often use it. With advertising, it comes into picture quite often. But you also need to make sure your product that you're trying to sell is lit up. It's not just about the model. You're trying to sell something. So make sure if the client is, say, making T-shirts, the T-shirt is lit up well. Just don't focus on the face just because you want to try a Rembrandt lighting. These are, again, tools. You need to know when to use a screwdriver and when to use a hammer. So remember, these are just tools, and learn them all, but make sure you understand when you need to use which one. So
Absolutely. I kind of want to sort of transition now from just those lighting techniques into some of your favorite shoots and sort of how you've used them. So do you mind talking us through some of your most favorite experiences of being a working photographer over the years? What are some of your favorite shoots?
Quite a few, actually, but the one that comes straight to mind is the one we went to Mount Tongariro, Tongariro Crossing. We climbed up the mountain and shot an editorial there, and that just came about. I'm friends with the designer, having whiskey one night. I'm like, you know what would look cool? A lookbook on top of Tongariro Crossing. And 2 days later, I think 4 a.m., we all got in the car with the model, drove up all the way, climbed up the mountain, shot images. And I didn't carry any lights with me because two camera bodies, and that was 10 kilos altogether. So just took a reflector with me, got some really nice images. I'll send some across to you and you can have a look at that. So that one comes to mind straight away. It was just a good day spending time with friends. The model is now a friend as well. So it was just good to hang out with them, create images, really happy with the work that I created. And that was good fun.
Yeah. And that kind of transitions us now really nicely into an area of kind of the business of photography that I wanted to sort of talk about. And it's sort of, basically there's for anyone listening at home who hasn't heard the phrase B2B or B2C, it means like a business to customer or business to consumer versus business to business. And it's a type of business framework that depends on who your customer is. And for a lot of photographers, whether they're wedding or family or pet photographers, they're a B2C business. And how you market a B2C business is very, it's the traditional way to market a business. You might have Facebook ads or Google ads. You know, you are trying to approach as many people as possible, whereas someone like yourself, being a sort of portrait editorial fashion photographer, you are mostly in the B2B world, so the business world. And that kind of marketing and running of your business is very different. And it's very much like you were talking about just before, in the sense that you are just like sitting around a table having whiskey with someone, and they, you know, they happen to be a designer.
Aligned,
and,
yeah,
it's, yeah. So it's a lot of these sort of like how you find jobs and sort of grow your B2B business is a lot more through just authentic connections with people.
It brings us back to the whole concept of 2 degrees of separation in New Zealand.
Yep.
Like someone knows someone. And I think networking is key. And in one of the previous interviews that I did with someone else, that's the one thing I said, like, I wish I had networked more when I started off. And only now I understand the importance of it.
Like,
you need to know people, and that's how you get recommendations. And like I briefly mentioned to you before, 90% of my work is just word of mouth. And that's, I put that in an email as well, like, how did you hear about me? So I can just thank that person for sending you to me. And yeah, it all comes back together, like the way you plan shoots, the way you communicate with your talent, your makeup artist, and so many other people, like, you communicate with them, and that's how you're going to get recommendations. And that's what's worked for me so far. Yeah, you can have the flashiest website, your Instagram theme looks exactly the same, your feed looks perfect, but if you're not good at communicating your ideas or just sharing what you know, that's going to set you back.
So
of my work is word of mouth, basically.
Exactly. And it all depends on what you want your business to be. But if you're wanting to work with brands and work with designers and work with businesses, that's how you've got to approach things. You've got to meet people and be and make friends and stuff like that.
That's one of the things, like, you have a minimalist style and you kind of adapt to the customer. So I can come to Ben and shoot like what Ben would usually want and what Ben's brand is, and go to person X and shoot what X brand usually is. I can't be like, I only shoot black and white at 1.4 and ISO 3000. Like, that doesn't work. Like, you kind of have to adapt to each different client and make sure you're giving them what they want and not what you feel like. Like, you can bring your creative input to it. You can be like, we got what you wanted. This is how I would have done it. And that's often what customers like, but they have that picture set in themselves that all our images need to be clean. But you show them a few different things. You get them shot that they wanted and take a few different shots, and they're happy with it and they like it that you're delivering. And that's when you give out your style to it and add your touch to it.
But it's kind of like leaving your ego at the door, so you're not saying like, this is all I do.
That's the one most important thing. You can't be like, I only shoot this and I only shoot at 7 o'clock in the morning and nothing after that. You can't have that. And you're working as a team, like we discussed before. You have to kind of make it worth everyone's time, and everyone's bringing their A game to it. So it just can't be about you on the day. Don't be a diva on set, basically.
Yeah, and because a lot of what your sort of go-to clients are after is an idea of trust too, because they're spending all this money on these campaigns. They want to like trust the person who's delivering that, and yes, know that they can like deliver the goods in terms of the photos, but like be a person who's good to work with and personable and reliable.
You sort of align their work and see if your work matches them. I can't go to someone who's dark and grungy images. I can't go and show them my portfolio and be like, hey, I'd love to work with you. But they're like, that guy just shoots nice, clean portraits, which are well lit. That doesn't fit up with our brand. They're never going to hire you again, even if you start shooting the most grungiest images like they want. It's just not going to fit, because in their head you're like, oh, that guy just shoots portraits of on a clean white background. So try and align yourself to the brand that you really want to work with. Present them a work with that aligns with their brand or their theme that they're trying to go for. So just don't go with one portfolio to like, I want to shoot for you. It just doesn't fit that way. So align yourself to the client that you want to work for. Set up a shoot, get your friends together, just shoot what brand X shoots and make it look like that, and then go to them, say like, this is what I can do for you.
Yeah. Do you do many sort of personal styled shoots?
Yes. Try and do it at least once a month, but that always doesn't happen. But yeah, I try and put a team together and shoot personally as well. Not as often as I would like it to be. It's just busy with commercial work.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you see the benefit of doing personal work like that to sort of slot into your commercial work?
It just gives you the freedom. Like, in the back of your head, you're like, I always want to shoot this. And it gives you time to experiment with new lighting, new gear. Like, I set up a shoot just to get used to my R5, so I'm not flumbling around with it on a client shoot. I just set up one just so I could get it. Get your friends together. You don't need to get a model all the time. Just bring a friend. Just get used to the camera. Give them some images. They all need images now. So you don't need to. Just get used to your camera and shoot what you like as well. And that's creatively so fulfilling that, I shot without a brief and there was no call sheet or mood board required. I just shot what I felt like on the day.
Mm. No, and it's something that, like, when you start doing photography for work, like for money, like you think, oh, I should be only ever charging for my work now. But doing those off brief personal projects keeps you fresh and lets you try things that you just can't when someone else is paying for the time. Someone's not paying for you to experiment. You know, with your photography, they're paying for you to deliver a certain thing.
Yeah. And don't go too hard on yourself. Like, you don't have to be creating all the time. So don't go too hard. Like, I have to have one personal shoot. It's okay to have a relaxing day at home. Like, you don't be under that pressure that I am going to create this, and this today. Or this week, I have to do two personal shoots and one studio session. Yeah, just take your time. Get some focus on your mental health.
Yeah.
And you don't go too hard on yourself, I would say. So it will all fall into place. Just keep doing it.
Yeah, that's definitely something that comes up with, obviously, like, social media and everything. Everyone sees everyone else out there working
and doing stuff. I've been to that phase as well, where I'm like, this person is on a helicopter in a mountain somewhere shooting this beautiful campaign, and I'm sitting at home waiting for my next email and my next line. But just don't compare yourself. You're setting yourself up to fail if you do that. Like, your expectations, if you set up that as an expectation, you're just going to not be happy with whatever you're creating. So just go easy on yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. I think a lot of people learned that in the first lockdown when everyone started, like, baking bread and working on their business and doing all sorts of stuff.
I just went off social media. I'm like, I'm just going to read books. I went to a friend of mine who had these magazines from 20, 30 years ago. I was just reading books, looking at magazines, looking at pictures, just went off social media. Like, everybody was so different. And it was just taking a toll on me, like, just looking at what was going around everyone.
Yeah.
Like, I just switched off, focus on what I wanted to do. I live in the city, so I was quite fortunate to just walk around with my camera and get some images then. And just use my 5D with a 40mm lens on it. So I just did that.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about last episode with the film, with the analog process just slowing you down. It's just, you don't have to be moving a million miles a minute to have a successful photography career. You can just, take some breaths basically, and it's and not look at, especially like on social media, you see like you're saying, people in helicopters and working for amazing brands. You can get a bit of FOMO and get a bit of, it can be hard as a creative. Yeah.
Especially when you're relying on photography as your work. It can take a toll on you where you're just like, why am I not getting work and why is he getting work? Could be a style shoot that they're just doing by themselves. You never know. It's just social media. Like, it can wind you up. So just make sure you take care of yourself, basically.
Yeah, no, fantastic. Cool, man. Well, as we kind of round out the show, do you have any other sort of final parting words for the working photographer, the aspiring photographer, the beginner photographer, from what you've learned?
Just be true to yourself and shoot what you like. Just because you watch someone's story and they're having a good time and hanging out with all these beautiful people just doesn't mean fashion is for you. So pick what you like shooting and try and be the best at it. And it's never too late to change. Like, if you're not enjoying fashion, just go and shoot whatever you feel like shooting. So, don't go hard on yourself. Shoot what you like. And clients will follow. As long as you're having fun and showing that in your work, your clients will follow. So just be true to yourself, basically.
Yeah, fantastic. Cool. Well, that was a fantastic place to finish, Anu. And thank you everyone for watching. I hope you enjoyed this 3-part series. If you are interested in Anu's work, there will be links in the description below. Thank you, Anu, for coming on the
show
for the last 3 weeks
and
walking us through.
Thank you so much for speaking to you and sharing what I know. So thank you for having me.
Fantastic. Awesome, man. Alrighty, we will see you guys next week. Catch you later. Bye.